Today we begin the first Sunday of the new church year, the season of Advent. For those of you who may not be familiar, just some basics. The church, the Catholic Church, does not run on the calendar year. We run on what's called the liturgical year. And the liturgical year begins four Sundays before the celebration of Christmas. Now this year, Christmas is on a Sunday, but still that's Christmas, so you still have to count four Sundays back from Christmas. And that's today. Advent is a time in which the church, the community of the church, because when I say the church, it's us and the leadership, the hierarchy, the faithful, all of us. The church is primarily waiting for the second coming of Jesus. Now, I know that for most of us, after Thanksgiving, it's Christmas already. But I want you to remember how we got here. How we got here, and not to just respond to the commercial aspects of Christmas. But we got here because during this time was a period of waiting, a period of intense reflection. That's why you see the change in color. The darker the color in any liturgical celebration, any mass, the darker the color, the more profound it is. I mean, even think of it in terms of secular society. The darkest color there is, of course, is black, solid black. And that's why when you go to for example, a serious occasion, they say black tie. Or when you go to a courtroom, you don't see the judge saying, "Oh, what color robe shall I wear today?" It's always black. Black is the most serious color that there is. Now, I'm not wearing black. I'm wearing purple. And the banners behind me, three of the four of them, are purple. And I'll tell you why later. But the color purple is still a dark color. And what it's trying to say to you is it's time for depth reflection. It's time for you to do some thinking in depth. So, during these next 4 weeks, what you're going to hear is that the first 2 weeks, that's today and next week, are going to be dedicated to reminding you that right now we are, as the Creed says, waiting in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The meaning of Advent, primarily, is not getting ready for Christmas. The meaning of Advent, primarily, is that we are a people who are waiting for the second coming of Jesus. And that's why you heard the reading today. You know, at the coming of the Son of Man, you know, and by the way, just an aside, when it says, two men will be working, one will be taken, one will be left, two women will be doing this, and one will be taken. That's not referring to a parousia, you know, where you kind of shoot up like a rocket. Oh, the rapture. Yeah, no. That's not referring to the rapture. If you listen to it in context, Jesus is referring to the final judgment. And it's just like Noah. People were left behind. It doesn't mean they were left behind on earth to just sort of do their thing. It's about the judgment. Okay. So that's what Advent is about. So why Christmas? Well, the church basically reasons this way. Christmas is a reminder that God is faithful to his promises. That in the same way that God came and fulfilled the expectations of the people of Israel by his incarnation in Jesus Christ and his suffering, death, and resurrection, so he will be faithful also to his word when he says what the creed says, that he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. So Christmas is a celebration of the affirmation that Jesus will be faithful to his word in coming at the end of time. And so that's why you see the purple. Purple is saying to you, folks, this is not a time to just be frivolous. You know, my job today in the first Sunday of Advent is to make sure as best as I can to push you beyond a superficial celebration of Christmas. That's my job. Okay? Christmas, if you're not careful, you're going to be carried along by the symbols of superficial happiness. Now, please understand, I am not against that. Okay? When I go to the Galleria or stuff like that, I like the jingle bells and I like the festive and the Santa Claus is coming and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. Here's the problem. Some of us are stuck there. Some of us are stuck there. If you go around a lot of times asking, so why are we giving presents? So what are we celebrating? The most enlightened of the secular will say, well, it's a winter holiday. Bull. It's BS. By the way, BS means beautiful stuff. I can't help what you're thinking. If you have a dirty mind, that's your problem. Okay? Okay. So what's the point is that you're stuck there and you're forgetting the deeper understanding of what's going on in Advent. You see, what the church is trying to get you to do is the church doesn't want to be a party pooper. Okay? We don't, if you look through the calendar, at the things we celebrate, with the exception of maybe, you know, 4th of July, if you look through the calendar, most things that we celebrate are religious. And most of the religious things that we celebrate were invented, not the act, not the occasion, but the celebration was invented by the church. Whether you know it or not, we have no idea when Jesus was born. No, it doesn't say that in the Bible. Was he born? Yes, we know he was born. And that's what we're celebrating. We're not celebrating his birthday. Okay, that's nice. But what we're celebrating is the fact that he was born. And he's the most significant person in the entire history of humanity that has been born. And that we are waiting for him at the very end of time. Now, during this Advent, you have a choice. You have a choice. Every time I say that, I always remember my favorite psychiatrist author who spent time in a German concentration camp, Viktor Frankl. And Viktor Frankl wrote a book, and he survived the concentration camp. He was a Jewish psychiatrist. And he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. Now, granted, it says man's search for meaning because it was written in the 50s, and that was before politically correct speech was a concern. And in that book, the first half of the book, Frankl says something that he learned from his experience. And his experience in the concentration camp was that the people who were the toughest, the men in his unit who were the toughest, were the first to die. And the reason they were the first to die is because these were the tough guys, you know? These were the guys who would be able to sing the Frank Sinatra, you know, song of, I did it my way. Well, guess what? You died first. Why? Because they believed in themselves and nothing else. They had no sense of the meaning of life outside of having fun, of enjoying their lives. And since all around them there was nothing but horror, the horror did not only stay on the outside, the horror got into inside of them and turned into despair. And once they turned into despair, they literally curled up in a catatonic state and died. Who were the ones who were survived? They survived those who had a sense most of the time, not everybody, but they, the ones who survived, who were the ones that had a sense of the meaning and the purpose of life. That life was not the horror that was in front of them. That there was a greater meaning. You know, he was a Jewish man. And he describes in his first half of that book how even when he was in the chain gang, that he was working and the SS was all around him, he would always have in front of him a sense of a light, and his wife's face was in the midst of that light. He didn't know she was alive or dead, but the meaning of his life was not the here and now. It was the sense of love that he had for this woman that showed him a reflection of the transcendent. That's what he saw. And the little sentence that I'm going to apply here to this is his sentence in that book. He says, the ultimate human freedom is the ability to choose the attitude or interpretation that you will give towards your experiences or your suffering. Listen to that. The ultimate human freedom is the ability to choose the attitude or the interpretation that you will give to your experiences and your sufferings. Now, what does that have to do with Advent? Well, plenty. Because you see, before you, there are two choices. Now, please understand, if you study in the world all the different religions, there are many interpretations of what it means to be human. I love to study all religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, even pagan religions. And what they all have in common, the word religion basically means, you know I was going to get etymology in here somewhere, that re ligare. To re ligar means to reconnect. League or ligar or ligament, it means a connection. And so to re ligar means to reconnect. Now, what do you need to reconnect? Well, you need to reconnect something that is disconnected. What is disconnected? You and I are. You and I are not connected to the ultimate meaning of our existence. We're not. That's what religions do. Now, some religions are more true than others, but that's what they all do. They connect you to the ultimate meaning. Now, we in the Western world, in America and Europe, have basically two great choices of religions. Now, there are many sub-choices, but two great choices. One is called Judeo-Christian tradition, or the Christian tradition that comes from the Jewish people. And the other one is the secular progressive tradition. Now, you may be finding it interesting that I'm including secular. And when I say secular progressive, I'm using the word, and you could just use the word secularism. Secularism, and instead of saying Christian, Judeo-Christian, I'm going to say Christianity, since we're in a Catholic church. So, those are the two main choices. Now, underneath all of those, there are all kinds of subdivisions. But why do I say those two? Because, you see, society at large, and to most of our government and our retail environments, religion is not taken seriously at all. Religion, that's the American culture. Religion is considered your own private thing, your own private thing. It's wrong, because religion is it's interesting, because the word culture comes from the word in Latin, cultus. And cultus means the fundamental belief and rights of any religion. Culture begins by cultus, meaning how you understand the universe and your place in it, and life and the meaning of death and the future. That's what ultimately develops your culture, or devolves your culture. So our culture is basically a secularist culture. Now, what does that mean? The word secular means having to do with time, secula. If any of you are old, like me, and you remember when we used to say the Our Father, and you would say forever and ever, we would say secula seculorum. That means for ages and ages. But it's always referring to now. And so secularism means, look, whether there's a God or not, we really don't care. So everything that we're going to do is all about the here and now. And we're going to make the here and now as perfect as we can. And we don't care what you think about God. The problem is, of course, that since all of the emphasis is on the here and now, religion is sort of pushed aside as, well, it's not that really important. Of course, people are starting to see a little bit more in the United States and in Western Europe that religion can be extremely important. And look at what's happening with Islam and ISIS. And we keep on trying, oh, it's because of poverty or because of this BS, beautiful stuff. Okay? But it's not true. It's not true. It's a religious issue. Here's the point. That if you allow yourself, you are going to be carried along by the symbols all around you that will encourage you to think only of Christmas as eating, drinking, watching football, shopping, and getting presents. That is the only thing that is here. And whenever you go, you know, one of the things that I love to study is a field of philosophy called semiotics. And semiotics is the study of how symbols affect you, how they kind of make you believe you're in a particular place. That's why colors and fashion have different meanings. If you walk into a mall, actually if you walk into any neighborhood, most any neighborhood, but if especially our common spaces, the malls, you will not be able to see in any way, shape, or form what it is that we're celebrating. You will not be able to see it. Why? Because they don't want you to focus on that. The only thing they care about is buy this, buy that. And it's all very sentimental. It makes you feel good. Now, please understand, that's a nice thing. It's a nice thing. I like hearing jingle bells, you know. I like hearing Santa Claus is coming to town. That's cute. The problem is that if that's all you do, that's where you're going to be. And you're not going to go any deeper. You will experience the holidays, but it won't be what the word really means, by the way. The word is not holidays. It's H-O-L-Y, different word, D-A-Y-S, the holy days. You won't experience that. You'll experience the H-O-L-I-D-A-Z-E, the holidays. And so what's ultimately going to happen is you have become a typical, superficial Western person. You have no idea of the depth of life. You have no idea of the meaning of the ultimate nature of reality. You have bought into society saying, hey, there is no God, enjoy yourself now, pursue happiness, you know, like the Declaration of Independence tells you. And the problem is, of course, that if you pursue happiness the way that the Declaration tells you, you're dead meat, because happiness cannot be pursued directly. Happiness is a byproduct of the pursuit of doing what is good. That is what's going to make you happy. But that's another subject for another day. Okay? So, what's the alternative? Because remember, if you, that's where you go, and that's all you do, you have made a choice. And the ultimate human freedom is the ability to choose the attitude. And your experiences of Christmas will be all happy days. Okay? It will be Christmas things. Nice, but insufficient. What is the Catholic Church telling you to do? The Catholic Church, in a sense, is saying to you, oh, for God's sake, and literally, for God's sake, oh, for God's sake, get real. Get real. Why are we being told, get real? I'm going to be accused of being a party pooper. Get real. Why? Because you're going to die. You're going to die. I don't care how many Christmases you go through and how much tinsel you put. Every year you get older, and every year you're going to get sicker. Trust me, I'm 67. Boy, does it happen. It happens quickly. And slow. I'm not sick, by the way. Don't go calling the bishop and saying Father Mario's sick. I'm not. All I'm saying to you is that what the church is saying is, look, don't live your life superficially. Make sure that you understand that this period of waiting of four Sundays for Jesus to come again, it's talking about a reality. And even if you die before Jesus comes again, that is still your second coming. You are not physically, you're not going to be one who was left behind or left above or whatever. Okay? You're going to die, and you should enjoy, but enjoy for the right reason. The Catholic Church always wants you to do the right thing for the right reason. When you celebrate superficially, what you're doing is you're celebrating the right thing for the wrong reason. Actually, not even celebrating the right thing. You're celebrating the wrong thing for the wrong reason. And so what the church is saying to you is, we don't have to focus on death, but focus on the things that matter. Death is only a reminder that we have a certain finite amount of time. and that we shouldn't spend it doing stupid things, and that we should spend it doing things that make sense and matter. That's why the reflection, the purple, that's why. And so the choice is yours. It's, do you want your life to have fun now, and the day something happens to you, well, good luck. Or are you going to be able to, on Christmas Day, are you going to be able to say, Merry Christmas? Are you going to be able to say it for the right reason? Or are you going to be able to say, ooh, Merry Christmas, I got a new toaster. Big deal. Or are you going to be able to say it, there's hope. There's hope because Jesus has come to save us. And by the way, in closing, the reason we have three purple and one pink is because during Lent and during Advent, in the middle of the season, the church declares a Rejoice Sunday. And in Latin, rejoice is either Gaudete or Laetare. In Advent, we celebrate Gaudete Sunday. In Lent, it's Laetare. It both means rejoice. And why? Because the church is saying we are halfway to the celebration of the coming of the Lord. Let's lift it up a little bit. And so what do they do? What do you get when you add white to purple? You get pink. And that's why it's there. Okay? It's not my favorite Sunday in the world because I have to wear what I call I call it Pepto-Bismol Sunday, because I have to wear this pink thing. But it's okay. It's okay. So, you have a choice. It's up to you. Do you want your Christmas superficial? Or do you want the depth of life that the church is trying to offer to you in the mystery of the birth and resurrection and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus? It's your choice.